B-Pod Studios.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Let me get the national viewpoint from the NFL Network and a South Philadelphia native and my relative. He is doing big, big things, Mike Garofalo. What do you say, Mikey G?
What's happening, buddy?
What's going on? How's the family?
Everybody's great. You?
Good, buddy. Good. Everything's going well.
Doing well?
Yeah, everybody's doing good. Thank you, my brother. Appreciate that. A couple things. I just wanted to get your go through the kind of what's been happening so far through the first quarter of the season and what you see, what you hear. Let's start off. We'll start off local, and then I want to branch out. So Eagles at 1-2-1, very much alive. We'll get to the Cowboys in a second. But what's your Eagles takeaway for the first quarter of the season?
I feel like we are where we were last year, which is like looking at the schedule and looking at this division and saying, all right, we're just playing out the string until Eagles, Cowboys in week 16 for the division. Like how far ahead did we see that coming last year? It was probably like a month and a half at least. And sure enough, that wound up being the case. I think that's where we are here. I mean, Washington, they could hang around. They could steal some games. But to me, it's probably Eagles, Cowboys. And if Dallas can get the defense figured out, which doesn't seem like it's in the brink of happening right now, then you worry about them a little bit. But I mean, right now the Eagles tied that game last week. And I said, all right, so assuming and a 500 record is what it's going to take to get done, they'd have to go 8-5 against a really tough schedule. And I'm like, well, they're done. But you're watching the Cowboys just flounder here, and you're saying maybe it's 7-8-1 that gets it done.
Right.
It's just, you know.
So the question is, how bad is that Cowboys defense? And educate us on why it's been such a disaster for them.
Yeah, I mean, people are questioning Jalen Smith's effort, but to me, it's not the effort. To me, it's the understanding of what's going on here, because he's supposed to be the guy really dictating things for the front seven and just apparently incapable of doing it. And they've been trying so hard to make him into that guy. Like he's been elected captain when really, a lot of the other guys are thinking other guys have been worthy of that. And this is not just this year. This has been last year. The Van Der Esch is down. He's a guy that's kind of the glue for that front seven as well. And they're going to get him back at some point. So really up front, there's just a mess. And I know you're focusing on the secondary, but the front's supposed to really dictate things and cover these things. And that's why it's a problem for them right now. And they tried. I mean, they've tinkered a little bit. Mike Nolan had, Everson Griffin and DeMarcus Lawrence standing up as linebackers the first couple of weeks, and they were saying we're really not comfortable doing that, so he let them get the hands in the ground and go forward instead of dropping in the coverage a lot more, and it had minimal impact. It really did. So they're a mess right now.
And I see McCarthy getting a lot of heat early, 4 games into the tenure, and he's getting some heat.
Somebody asked me if he could be one and done. I don't think so. Listen, when the owner is the general manager and he's the one supplying the talent and the results don't follow, it's not like you can go to the owner and say, hey, it's the GM. It's not my problem. That's not going to work there. So I don't think he's one and done. I don't think he's forgotten how to coach. But he may have to, at some point, sacrifice Mike Nolan to save himself.
Wow. Wow. That's amazing. That's incredible. I guess one of the other things, quarter pole surrounding the Eagles is, and you're right, the division, it's amazing. The Giants are still a mess, and no Saquon. What I mean, did you think they would be this big of a mess?
Well, before we get there, how about your boy Matt Rhule, who is the best back in the game, and goes 2-0 in his first two games?
Yes,
like So I'm sitting here, you know, ready to make excuses for the Giants. They lost Saquon. There are no excuses when Matt Rhule is doing what he's doing. Now, granted, the Giants have played a tough schedule, and outside of that San Francisco game when the wheels just came off early, you know, they've made these teams work for it. These games have all been close, and the Pittsburgh game, I know it was a 10-point win, but they made them work for it. And last week against the Rams, they frustrated an offense that had played extremely well against the Eagles and the Bills in recent weeks. So the Giants are gonna jump up and bite somebody soon, and it could be the Cowboys. They've got the Cowboys this week, right? I've got my weeks correct. Yeah,
yes.
I believe so. And you know, it's at some point they're gonna win a game. They are on the verge of doing it, and it could have ramifications in this division. I mean, they're not going to jump into contention. I never saw them as anything better than, let's say, 6-10. But I just go back to last year and watching that team just be a dead fish for games where they had to compete and they had to show up. You're not going to get that from the Giants this year. They're at least going to make you work for it.
It's astounding, right? And the Redskins are still the Redskins, although they, you know, God bless them. They compete. Mike Garafolo, by the way, with us on the Comcast Business Hotline, NFL Network. But you said it. I mean, again, this division is woeful. What's the issue with the Eagles? When you look at the Eagles and same old is the same thing at receiver. We know that Jalen Reagor's hurt. But again, the bad drafting has really come home to roost, and people get agitated when they see the likes of the DK Metcalfs and all those other receivers making plays.
Yeah, I go back and forth on this because when you talk about the bad drafting, I mean, there's been good and bad. And there's I saw a left tackle on Sunday who was a seventh-round project that is developing. And, you know, if he turns into your left tackle for a while.
Oh, yeah, no, without a doubt.
So I just, you know, I've heard the draft and develop thing, and I get it. And there's questions about guys like J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, excuse me, and some other guys. And I know nobody loves Jalen Hurts at this point. I get that and all that stuff. But, you know, I never really quite know where to put the blame on that. I mean, is it guys not developing as a coaching staff, or is it guys not spotting the talent? And I find it hard to believe that an organization that has drafted guys like Lane Johnson and Fletcher Cox and you know, Derek Barnett, who's showing up as well. And just, I mean, you can go over and over. I mean, I just find it hard to believe that suddenly they've lost their touch. So I think you gotta, if this continues and at the end of the year and you see where it is, you may have to make some tough assessments on this coaching staff. But it's still early, and they still, you know, hope that some of these guys are going to show up. And Reagor, I can't knock Reagor for getting hurt, especially when he was.
Nobody's knocking Reagor. It's putting him off to the side for a second and saying, all right, well, the blind spot has been at wide receiver. The clear blind spot has been at wide receiver. I mean, it's amazing that we're having the same conversations about Wentz, and he's throwing to Travis Fulgham. Like, I mean, that's absurd.
A dime, too, by the way. And supposedly Fulgham had a huge week in practice last week where he really earned Wentz's confidence, and so that allowed him the chance to go to him in that spot, or the confidence to go to him in that spot. So,
well, you get my point. I mean, my point is that they have no proven. There's no weapons. Only we cry about weapons all the time, and it's the same thing. Tight end, 12 personnel. You can be guys on the outside that can play.
Well, he's coming back, supposedly. And we'll see. I mean, if Alshon gets back and all the preseason chatter that mentally he was in a much better place than he had been the last couple of years, if you can get him back and get him confident and listen,
can he run out of mashed potatoes or
what? For all for all the talk of Nick Foles puts it up and gives his guys a chance to catch the ball, he did that on Sunday against the Colts, and it didn't work that well. So there's an upside and a downside to that. You got to know when to do it. And I think that Carson Wentz certainly can learn a little bit more when to do it. And if he can do it and trust Alshon and get himself a number one and a guy who's on the outside making plays. And the other one is, you know, Deshaun comes back and he stays healthy, but I don't know that you can bank on that at this point, right? I mean, it's just...
You can't bank on either of the two. First of all, I don't care what anybody says. I don't care what you say. That Alshon Jeffrey contract was horrible. It was a horrible contract.
The second time when they adjusted it.
Yeah.
That's what really... themselves in.
Exactly.
They added guaranteed money. Yeah. Not the first time. The first time they rewarded him when he was playing well and everything was going great. Awesome. But the second time when they locked in the money and really handcuffed themselves to what they could do this year, that's the one that was an issue for them. That was the piece that was an issue.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
Yeah, I hear the baby. Oh, I love it.
Yeah, well,
Mike Garofolo, the little angel. That's right. Right here, 97.5 The Fanatic, and Mikey is the mainstay on the NFL Network. Mike, the COVID scare that the NFL has had and caused the cancellation of the games, what are you hearing surrounding the whole thing? I know the NFL had the conference call, and they were talking about taking this thing serious, fines, masks, the whole thing. Would they kind of fool with the schedule a little bit if there was some more cancellations or postponements? What are you hearing overall there?
What do you mean fool with the schedule?
Would you add a COVID week? Would you of games that need to be
made up? I mean, listen, they'll do that and postpone the Super Bowl. And remember, you got that built-in bye week that could go away, which I think the last time that happened, if I'm not mistaken, was this is going to be a harsh reminder, but Tampa Bay
9/11,
Oakland Super Bowl.
No, you're right, 0-2. Yeah, I remember, yeah.
Yeah, because
San Diego.
They would have gone right there and played the following week. I think that's the last time there was no bye. You know, they'll move it and they'll postpone. They will try to get every single game in. I mean, that's the most important part to them before they start canceling things or doing that. So they'll do everything they possibly can to make that happen. But what you're seeing with this Tennessee thing is, you know, the league making it clear that this is not a NFL problem. This is a Titans problem, right? And I think they're going to get dinged. I really do. I don't know what the penalties are going to be, but as part of this review, because there's questions about, you know, people not wearing the contact tracers like they were supposed to, and maybe guys getting into the building with symptoms when even though they tested negative. And so I think you're going to get something that comes out here and says, you know, we're going to make an example of a team that didn't follow the protocols closely. And let's be clear, no one else should be lax here, because we got a season that's on the line and can be disrupted in a hurry. This is the easier part, because we haven't gotten to the byes yet, and that allowed for some flexibility. You get beyond the byes, there are no flexibility points, and so it's going to be interesting. I thought they should have, and this is just me, built in a second bye.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't know how that would have happened. Maybe you could have even, you know, paused everybody for a week instead of having to schedule it. But I really thought that, you know, they should have given themselves more flexibility. And I thought they were going to. And just at some point they said, no, this is going to be a regular schedule. There's not like movable weeks in there like some people thought they were going to be. It was a standard schedule as much as they could possibly make it. And I think that they left themselves little room here for error.
Yeah, I'm surprised at that as well, especially since there was some talk about pushing back the Super Bowl to President's Day weekend, which always made sense.
Well, which they could still do.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, they could still do that. But, you know, if you scheduled it and just said, hey, look, this is going to be a one-time thing.
I know.
We're going to add a second bye. Let's see how. And you could even use that as a test run, you know, if everything went normal, to say, hey, maybe we'll do a second bye, you know, going forward for teams. I know they don't want to stretch the season. I believe the networks didn't want to stretch the season. They kind of like how it's structured right now. At least that was how it was explained to me. So, but this is
can I interrupt you real quick? Why is that? Because the second bye is more inventory. And
you would think, right?
Right. And you know, every time it comes out, like the most watched television shows of the week, it's all NFL games. I don't know why the networks would not want an expansion of it.
I don't understand that, to be honest with you. I really don't. And I think that it's something that they should look at, especially with, you know, the way TV is consumed today and the fact that live sports is your last bastion of you've got to tune in live and not watch it on DVR. But you know, listen, they added the inventory via the extra playoff game. So there's more revenue. There's more inventory for the networks there. So they'll start there. But I just, you know, again, I go back to, I think it would have been more for flexibility purposes to have that second bye. But listen, I mean, you know, there's still confidence here. There's still confidence from teams, from the league that this was just a blip. We're going to have another situation where teams got multiple positives. But you know, we'll be able to mitigate that with some of the protocols that they're putting in place. If they think a team's been exposed, now you got to wear the mask or the face shield on the practice field, meetings in open air as much as possible and spaced out and all that stuff. So we'll see, Ant. I mean, I'm hopeful that it gets in and nothing's disrupted and the Super Bowl's on time and we have a full season because people love their football, number one, but number two, there's a lot of people relying upon this, you know?
Yeah, well, without a doubt, without that. Hey, last thing, just curious, who do you like? Who do you say right now, all right, we are four games in the book. Watch out for these teams because they can become really, really dangerous. We have to laud, like you said, we laud Carolina, and we laud Buffalo and Sean McDermott, the job he's done as well.
Yeah, and they've opened it, you know, that offense, they've opened it up, I think, more than they actually even planned. I think Josh Allen has shown them a little bit more because the plan was, all right, you know, not just because the Diggs were going to be this high-flying offense, we're going to still have the strong running game and our passing game come off of that. And they've opened it up a little bit more because he's shown them that they can handle that he can handle it, excuse me. He surprised me. I had questions of him coming out and, even the first couple of years in the league, I didn't think that he could be this kind of guy, and he is proving that differently right now, man. He looks outstanding. I still think, if you said to me, who's got the best chance to go toe-to-toe with the Chiefs in the playoffs and win a game, I think it's the Steelers. I truly
do.
That's the team that, you know, because, you know, give me Ben in that spot where he's won games in the playoffs before. And not only, oh, they got a strong defense. Yeah, but they've got a strong defense coming off the edges. And they've got guys in T.J. Watt and Bud Dupree that can make plays. So that has been the team to me. I said, if anybody's going to beat them in the postseason, I think it's Pittsburgh. So we'll see. I mean, you know, you're going to get a good look at them on Sunday. The Niners win was huge for the Eagles. They badly needed that. I'd be surprised if they go back-to-back here, though.
I feel you, my brother. Listen, God bless the family, all right? Watch yourself. Be careful, as always. Stay safe. We love you, buddy.
You got it. You too, Ed. Enjoy your football, everybody. Hopefully it's going to last.
That's right. Hopefully. God, please. Mike Garofalo on the Comcast Business Hotline, NFL Network. You can check him out.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.